here in my hand. How many years have you been here? Little human upon the sand, from where I'm lying here in your hand. You to me are but a passing breeze. The sun will always shine where you stand, depending in which land you may find yourself. Now you have my blessing, go your way. Happiness runs in a circular motion. Thought is like a little boat upon the sea. Everybody is a part of everything anyway. You can have everything if you let yourself be.
Welcome, dear friends, truth seekers, and curious newcomers to Earth Harmony Divinations. Today is Wednesday, June 11, 2008. My name is Elizabeth Peter. I have been hosting this show since October of 2007, and we decided to move the airtime to every other Wednesday afternoons now. I'm hoping to accommodate more of your time schedules and more of our friends can join in with this new time slot. So I hope you will call in and join our discussion today. As I do at the beginning of each show, I would like to give you a brief outline of what you can expect from this show. My mission statement is simple. Let us focus on sharing joy, oneness, abundance, and gratitude at all times. Be ethical and use intuition all the time, not fear. Friends, we are at the dawn of the intuitive age, the age of what they call bliss. More precisely, we are at halfway through the fifth night of the age of ethics. In this year of 2008 of the Gregorian calendar, our focus is zooming on to ethics. From the 250 years long of age of powers, oppressive powers, that is, finally we are in the galactic age, ruled by ethics and integrity. Simultaneously, we are also getting ready to enter the age of intuition, which we could call the age of bliss, by the year 2011. So the only simple way to be at this time is just simply think, do, say, create with one qualifier, ethics. It must, everything we do, say, create, think, must pass the ethics test, and it has to be based on intuition. For more information about me, please visit my website, www.redlotus.org, or shoot me an email at elizabeth@redlotus.org. I will try my best to take as many calls on this show. And if we run out of time, please feel free to email me anytime. Again, my email address is elizabeth@redlotus.org. And as I always do at the beginning of every show, I'd like to say an abundant intent. So let us all take a very deep, long breath, focus on our third eye, and here goes, abundant intent. I focus on the holy high self within as the only source of my prosperity. I know this inner presence as the only activity in my financial, personal health, career affairs, as it is the substance of all things visible. I trust in the principle of abundance in action within as without, and so it is. So, dear friends, please feel free to call in any time. I invite your questions, concerns, and feedback. And as always, on thoughts and insights on the current show or past subjects discussed on the Earth Harmony show, we discuss the phenomenon of abundance, ethics, the secret, the Mayan calendar, the tarot, and the sustainability revolution, sustainable prosperity revolution that we're headed into at the moment. I try to have shows and discussions on that or bring in guests, like we did last time on the hydrogen converter that we could temporarily use to get better gas mileage. And of course, during this show, I invite your calls all the time, so please feel free to jump in anytime. And I hope we will have a great discussion or pondering, as Kathy Wallace, my guest today, has put it. So I definitely welcome all your calls. Today's show will be very interesting for those of you who are pondering the subject of the consciousness evolution on our planet. I ran across a blog entry on the internet by a fellow Wayshower who also shares a tribe space on tribenot.net, which is where I also have a space. And so as I was reading her ponderings, I got more curious and tried to research this subject that the author of an e-book and the author of Spiral Dynamics Theory, Owen Waters, calls the shift. It goes into categorizing humanity or human groups into mames. Seems like an odd word to describe human groups to me. Anyhow, as I could not really understand this subject, short of signing up for some expensive seminar, I decided to look up Kathy on the tribe and see if she could clarify this for me. I was really surprised as she told me her response that I decided to invite her on this show, and perhaps the two of us could discuss or ponder not so much the subject of the shift, but actually the individual shifts we all feel that is happening to all of us right now. So I'm really grateful that Kathy accepted my invitation. I know she's a very busy person. She's working on a very creative project, a movie project, I believe. So welcome to the show, Kathy.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
If you could speak up just a little.
All right, I will.
Great. Sounds good. You are very busy with a creative project that you shared with me when we talked last, and so I'm really honored that you can take the time to be with us.
Oh, you're certainly welcome.
Thanks. I ran into your blog about the shift, and it categorizes people, I believe. For example, the last clan of MAMES, and I don't know where this word MAMES comes from. Maybe you can enlighten me if you know. and these last MAMES that came in before our groups, I guess, is categorized as basic personal survival. They concern themselves with clan survival, courage, survival of the fittest, finding order and purpose in life, achievement and success oriented. They're into the community and caring. It kind of describes the group that is currently on our planet or is about to finish up. And then the next group, called the Mystery Meme, entered the scene. And I quote, "Then a momentous leap into the second spiritual tier of six memes began with leading-edge thinkers in the 50s. Since then, enough people have made the shift into the second tier to enable two of its memes to be identified and analyzed. The second tier of memes, this higher frequency band of consciousness, is the engine of the shift, the spiritual revolution in human consciousness." Wow, I mean, this sounds very intriguing. Kathy, what is your intuition telling you about all this?
Well, first of all, I'd like to just clarify. This information on memes comes from a man named Owen Waters.
Yeah.
And from a book called The Shift, The Revolution in Human Consciousness. So it's his work, this information on memes. What I understand a meme to mean is it's a word that carries huge power because it has a whole body of information attached to it, so that when people hear the word, they have a huge piece of understanding with that word.
Okay.
And Owen's description of the mystery meme I found interesting, but I do have a different understanding of what that might mean. I do think that at this time on the planet, we are definitely coming into a new understanding of our relationship with all that is, and that it involves what I call dancing the mystery. of interconnected oneness with all that is. And that means connecting with our spiritual dimension, connecting with each other, connecting with Mother Earth, the universe, the galaxies. And it involves surrendering and dancing the mystery of it all. So a distinction that I would make between what Owen is saying and what I understand, and this is just what I understand, is that our shift on the planet involves going through mental constructs and going through the mind into a more profound way of feeling, knowing, being, existence. And so for me, Elizabeth, the use of words is sort of becoming a difficult way for us to communicate how we're shifting, because these mental constructs have a limit to them, and I think we're becoming far more expansive and far greater than our mind and our mental constructs.
I absolutely agree, Kathy. I mean, just a simple example is I'm talking to a friend who tells me about something he read and some person he heard about, and he tells me his name and where I could find this information, and the minute he tells me, I completely forgot. And so unless I see it written down for that particular moment, I forget, and I think that's proof that our mind is already so overloaded, and it's almost like reaching the limit of its capacity to really be of service to us, because the mind is basically a very slow instrument. And so what needs to happen is the mind becomes obsolete, like the tail. The tail was useful at some millions of years ago. No longer will the mind be useful either. So we will be only relying on intuition and the flow, what some people term the flow. And I think that's probably what you're touching on here, right?
Yes, it is. I guess my languaging would be that the mind is perhaps a one-dimensional tool that allows us to operate in what I call surface reality, which is what this current dominant North American reality looks like. But we are actually omnidimensional beings. We are actually energy that is connected with all that is, that can touch all realms, all dimensions, at all times. And the mind isn't the tool for doing that. As an energy being, we are an integrated whole tool, you could say, that uses other means to access our connections with other pieces of us, like our intuition, like our psychic abilities. And it's a knowing that is not of the mind. It's a knowing of our whole being that opens us up to far more than what our mind and what mental constructs and words can access.
Yeah, you know, there are dozens and dozens of books and theories out there right now on various, of course, coming from the very far right of the religious fanatic groups to the very extreme and very esoteric ideologies of the other end of the spectrum. And so I think we're going through this cleansing process where all these theories and all these thinking stuff is going to crystallize down to a very simple truth, and that truth has to come from within each one of us. Would you agree?
And I think it has a lot to do with removing veils of disbelief that we've been conditioned to believe, and remembering and reawakening once again to what we actually are, which I describe as magnificent, omnidimensional, 100% fully fluffed, sovereign energy being.
Wow.
And it's
beautiful.
It's not...
Can you say that again?
We are magnificent. We are magnificent 100% fully fluffed, omnidimensional, sovereign being that dances with the whole universe. Some scientists have suggested through the hologram, for example, that the whole universe exists in the whorl of our fingerprint. And so we are all that is, and connected with that and engage with that. It's just removing the veils of disbelief that conditioning has put on us.
That reminds me of that painting of, or that drawing of Leonardo da Vinci, you know, the famous one where the human finger is reaching out.
Yes.
That circle with the human being in it.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a beautiful description. So all these memes that are, you know, listed here in this shift, you're saying that these are mental constructs of just one person who, again, wants to categorize us and label things with these big words?
Well, that's what the mind likes to do. That's what that tool does for us. It categorizes and labels and delineates and describes and defines. And that is a framing of something that goes way beyond words, because we're all that is. And that's called energy, it's called consciousness, it's called the divine, whatever name we give it. We are this all that is. And so there has been this effort to delineate that down into a more comprehensible form using words. But really, what we are is an experience, a feeling. Our feelings can access more the truth of what we are, I believe, than words can.
But throughout history, of course, when we talk about, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of human history, this was just not manifested, even though we had the seed, we had the potential in each one of us to have that ability to manifest this oneness. We were so stuck in that three-dimensional world and its trappings that we could not express this higher form of oneness, would you say?
Well, I think we've had things to learn, and this again is just my understanding through my own transformation process of the last 15 years and my own pondering. But I believe that we are moving into becoming illuminated beings, omnidimensional illuminated beings with all our psychic abilities, and with that comes a huge responsibility of carrying that power. I mean, can you imagine, like, manifesting instantly, communicating psychically with everything on the planet and beyond? And we can actually do that once the veils of disbelief are removed, but with that comes a responsibility, and I believe we have had to learn, both men and women, how to carry power responsibly. And in order to do that, we've had to, first of all, stabilize on this planet, and it's taken us millions of years to stabilize as human beings on this planet, and then move through different phases from survival mode to taking care of our own needs. And then the challenge now for us is to expand out way beyond our own personal needs into community, into a global community and beyond. And that expansiveness has to come with knowledge that was in part the work of our mind and our mental constructs, that we have to know how to carry power, that we have to understand the lessons of power, the very horrible lessons that we've learned on this planet, of how profoundly we can hurt each other and destroy each other, and then choose with free will to act in another way, in alignment with the highest good for all our relations, as Aboriginal people say, as I understand, that we choose that because of our experience of how we have hurt each other and misused power. So that's just my understanding of why we've had to go through this historical process as human beings on this planet. And now we're ready to become this magnificence that we actually are.
Well, the last 15 years that you mentioned, because I kind of went through that same process as you, where my awareness really shifted. So that 15 years is so concentrated, and I would say that's definitely where the shift really started to take place, from becoming more you know, mindful and more aware of this powerful oneness feeling that I don't think people were that aware of before, or maybe there were glimpses of it in history before, but not to the degree that it's just really started to blossom in the last 15 years. So I guess that's what's really described in that book of the shift about the mystery meme and how they, you know, I'm quoting again, the keywords of the ninth meme will be powerful creativity, how this power will be used to create the oneness from, you know, like where humanity was just basically in a survival mode prior to that. Or is that simplification?
Yes, no, I absolutely agree. And then I still go back to a certain amount of tentativeness around the use of languaging. Powerful creativity, for me, what I have learned in my lifetime is that the ultimate power is giving power away. And for me, what I understand is that that's what we must come to be illuminated beings, aligned with the highest good for all our relations, that we as energy being, which flows freely, is about giving that power away and not being attached and engaging in co-creation and collaboration so there aren't these control structures of domination and power over. So I'm sort of tentative around that word powerful, because I don't think the definition I've just given you is being understood a lot to mean powerful, and that's it, exactly what I think we have to come to.
But powerful creativity, according to this, and again I'm quoting, what he talks about is that a spiritually oriented person uses this creativity to the same way as the infinite creators or creation used to create the universe. So in other words, we're headed up to a place with our power, spiritual power or psychic power or intuitive power, that we are doing exactly that. We can create anything. We can create just like creation itself is creating. So we are blending into that. We are being given enough power to create whatever we want to create and become like the water in the ocean. We become one with that creation. Is that what you're feeling?
Becoming one with that creation, I like that description that you used, because again, the concern I have is that these are words, mental constructs, and it's very egocentric what I'm reading, with all due respect to Owen. But you know that now we're getting the power to do this, and it's going to happen, and we're going to be able to have equal power with, you know, all that is the divine. And to me, that's a very egocentric saying. You know, I'm the center of the universe, and I know what's happening, and this is how it's going to look. And that's all being directed by the mind. So I would say slightly different things around that. What I would say, what I understand, and this comes from 15 years of being open to our spiritual dimension and all that is, and learning and getting information. And what I know is that it's not about our mind saying, okay, I intend now to do powerful creation. It's rather us as a whole being aligned with the highest good for all our relations and our spiritual dimension, and then open. And from that position and stance comes power to create in integrity. But it's not from our mind saying, okay, now I can do this and this is how it's going to look. It's more dancing the mystery, which means surrendering, being open, asking for guidance, and in all ways being, you know, asking repeatedly what is in the highest good for all our relations in what I'm going to do next. And surrendering and not being attached to the outcome. So it's very much dancing a mystery that just keeps opening, but we are not, you see, I do not believe that we're the major player in all of this, and I believe our mind tells us we are. And so, you know,
everything was filtered through the mind and is still filtered through the mind. In fact, the mind is almost like a gatekeeper.
Yes.
And it is being removed, like you call it removing the veil. I think that veil is the mind. It's the ego.
Yes.
That resides in the mind. And once that is slowly being removed as we move into more and more ethical power. And, you know, yes, you're right. I mean, I'm categorizing here too, but the truth is that we are cleansing ourselves into,
yeah,
getting more, the more cleansed we are, ethically cleansed and spiritually cleansed, the more we are allowed to have access to more of that creative power. And then the more access we get to the creative power, the less we will be using the mind. And it's almost like that's what the shift is really. It's a parallel thing where one is sliding one way and the other one is, we're sliding into pure creative power.
Yes.
And that veil is slowly being removed as we're growing into this power. It's very gradual, and so, but I think it really accelerated. This change has been really increased in the last 15 years, and I think this is what the Mayan calendar, talks about. You know, the book, The Mayan Calendar by Kahneman, that I keep referring to a lot,
mm-hmm,
talks about the galactic age that just started in the 1990s. During which actually a lot of our galactic neighbors are here downloading some help to us and giving us all kinds of symbolic messages and intuitive messages. So we're really not, you're right, we're not, as humanity, we're not doing this all by ourselves. It's almost like a concentrated effort on who knows how many infinite powers and beings are helping us do this.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes. I'd like to just comment on a few things that you said. Perhaps my relanguaging would be to say that this ethical power that you mentioned is more for me coming into a relationship of alignment. That in the relationship of aligning with all that is, then we start manifesting in an ethical way, that it's a relationship of co-creation, not the mind and the ego, the little human running things, but it's understanding that it's coming into a relationship of alignment where we are working co-creatively and open with all that is. And I agree with you, it has very much to do with what I call dancing our shadow, that it's very much cleansing and letting go of old things that don't serve us. And then you mentioned that allows us to move into accessing our creative power. I guess how I would language that differently is I would say then we be our creative power. So it's more becoming and being, not of the mind, but being something that is in relationship with all that is, with the grand symphony that is going on in the universe that we just simply have to step into. Something I know from my 15 years of transforming and working with, you know, our spiritual dimension and all that is that the spirits are hungry to connect with us. And it's not difficult to do. It's basically just moving out of disbelief. And something that remains with me in all my experiences is that the universe is conscious and alive and loves us and wants us to be healed.
Yeah, but we're so tied into the three-dimensional world of this planet still that, it's like keeping people in this prison state of fear, which, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on right now because I wanted to ask you, so you're working on a project you mentioned last time, and that pretty much ties into what you're saying, Dancing the Mystery, because you were mentioning to me last time that even books and various media are going to become obsolete eventually because it slows us down and uses the mind too much. So how would you say we will be interacting? How are we going to connect? Just through telepathic messaging and sending vibes to each other, basically, you know, loving vibes and blissful energies to each other?
I think so. It's my experience over 15 years of transforming myself. Right now I can say that for the last 3 years I've been living in joy, which doesn't mean that my life has been easy at all, but the joy is irrepressible. I've been living in joy, I've been living in timelessness, and I've been living in gratitude. And it changes everything. And one of the sources of information for people around that is the Celestine Prophecy, for example, gave 9 insights into how to shift. And I looked back at that after many years of not looking at it, and it's very timely and very powerful. I think we are in the transformation. I don't think it's a matter of choosing it. I think we're in it now. But we do have a choice as to how we want to see it end for ourselves.
Well, I think, at least for me, my calling is clear that all I'm here for is to hold that higher frequency as much as I can, because I fall into fear a lot still. But I need to hold that higher frequency here so that whoever reaches out to me, I can just encourage my fellow travelers to get out of the fear and really be mindful of that if we could just navigate out of the fear frequencies into this higher frequencies of joy that you talk about, the bliss and the gratitude levels, which actually just hit us with the secret that was, you know, accepted on a mass level in 2006. That was a huge shift right there on a level of where millions of people purchase that information.
Yes.
I think that is what we do, you know. And so you're talking about a movie project that you're basically just using images and various forms of sensory things in your movie. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I think in this bridging time, from the old to the new world, there are many, many wonderful initiatives to shift us, and I think we need all of them, the whole diversity, because we are a diverse existence. And my piece is using as few words as possible, and my focus is what I call a collective human energy field. So individuals, but also the many collective realms that we exist in as individuals, because we don't just exist as individuals. We exist in groups, communities, cities, and then the whole planet is a global energy field. And so over 10 years of pondering all of the problems on the planet, one of the things I came to understand is that all of these wonderful solutions of sustainability, if they're isolated solutions to isolated problems, they're not going to get us to the new world. And so Little Huge Be the Moving is a global peace project that I've come with that is what I call a foundational piece for all other sustainable initiatives, which is human sustainability. If we cannot create a future for us on the planet, then all of these other wonderful initiatives of sustainability won't endure. So Little Huge Be the Moving is a radical, new, and powerful vision of a new world and a new story of us as a new being on the planet through sounding and through moving energy, because that's what we are. And it's a visceral experience of being interconnected oneness with all that is through all realms, all dimensions, all the time. which I say is our real time and space. But these are words, and because they're new concepts to people in North America anyways, we get lost, we don't understand. Little Huge is going to be initially 13 webisodes released on the internet for free that will show us that we will experience viscerally sounding, moving, feeling, knowing, being, interconnected oneness with all it is, our magnificent, sovereign being of energy. And the intention is that when people experience it viscerally, they're going to go, yes, I'm this magnificence, I'm this wonderful, omnidimensional, connected with all that is. I am not going to continue to allow myself to be misused mm-hmm. at work or with my partner, or I'm not going to continue to live a life that's not satisfying me, or I'm not going to continue to do things that are hurtful to me. I'm this magnificent, omnidimensional, incredible being of sovereignty, fully fluffed. And so the idea is that people will...
I think we have a caller.
Okay.
Sorry. Hi there.
Yes, I had a question for Elizabeth.
Yeah, who is this?
This is Beyond 50.
Oh, hi, Dan.
Yes.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I'm listening to the broadcast here, and I know that there was a lot of talk about how ego seems to interfere with a person divining or being one with the universe. How does one kind of remove that?
Okay. Well, Kathy, do you want to answer him?
It's nothing that's terribly difficult, and I think the efforting around, this must be hard and I have to read 1,000 books is a big part of the problem. There's very simple steps. One is just grounding into Mother Earth, intending to do that, so you can see roots growing down from your feet deep into the core of Mother Earth. Intending to connect with all that is, and you can use different kinds of visualizing for that, like golden beams of light, and just say, I'm connected, and be in the center of your being, which is basically our guts, and say, I'm home and I'm open, let's start communicating.
What Kathy's talking about is even about the movie that she's doing. It reminds me of the rituals that we lost as humans.
Yes.
You know, the ancient tribal rituals, like even the Amazon Indians or the native Australian tribes or the African tribes, when they just simply danced on earth barefoot and moved around and celebrated, that sort of ritual celebration is coming back into us. It's in our DNA. And I believe that people are navigating towards groups who are already activating that in their own DNA. I personally joined the group here in Portland that we were celebrating little projects that we do here in the city, and then we biked around and we danced around and we just sort of enjoyed and hugged we wanted to be outdoors. And of course, the more you get in touch with nature and the more, like what Kathy says, you know, be grounded on this earth, you know, even if you just touch your feet to the sand or the grass under your feet for just a few minutes every day, mm-hmm. that already gives you the grounding and it
sure,
gets you out
of
the mind.
Kind of not feeling separated. Okay, well, thank you. That certainly answered my question. Great show.
Thanks for listening. I appreciate your call. Kathy?
So the thing with Little Huge Be the Moving, this experiential film, is that when people feel and know and see and experience, they will remember what we really are. And when we see and feel and know what we are, we will be free. We'll make different choices. It will give us a strengthening, so we'll move out of the fear. And what will happen as we choose the joy and the magnificence is what doesn't serve us will simply fall away.
Well, on that subject, if I could intercept, you know, what doesn't serve us, obviously almost 99% of how we live right now does not serve us, including the money systems, the political systems, the various systems. We can go into endless listings of this. And so this shift is phenomenal because it is going to really almost like take us down to the bare minimum, back to where we came from,
yes.
Would you say?
Yes, and I say that we're hardwired for oneness. Like, we can't ignore it because it's inherent in us. And what we're living now in North America, in this dominant surface reality of North America, is a distortion of what we actually are. And one of the major pieces of that distortion is we have been externally referenced to outside authority figures that we've given our power away to, that we've said tell the story for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shift, which this little huge Be the Moving film is going to be a catalyst for, is coming home to ourselves, like you were saying, like coming into home inside ourselves and knowing that we can touch everything within ourselves, that we can know everything within ourselves, that all the answers are here, that we don't have to reference ourselves to outside authority figures, which is the distortion of our true energy system of being.
Well, dear friends, if you're just tuning in, we're having an exciting intuitive discussion with the wonderful Way Shower, Kathy Wallace from Vancouver, Canada. If you're interested in getting in touch with her regarding her movie project, she is seeking donations, right?
Yeah.
Then you can email her at kathyace@lykus.com. That's kathyace@lykus.com. You can always email me with your comments or questions as well, elizabeth@redlotus.org. And so going back to what we're talking about here is getting down to the very basics. I mean, I'm observing some groups, you know, younger groups. I mean, we are in our 50s, but these younger generation, they're really, you know, with the creation of the Burning Man phenomenon, for example, even the group that I just spent time with here in Portland, these groups are in their 20s, 30s. They're very much into that very basic frequency of just being empowered in the group energy and creating whatever needs to be created in a very basic manner without using any other powerful external sources, such as the power grids or the power politicians or the power anything. And I think these guys are creating a new world around us already. In fact, you know, one girl put it this way to me, which I thought was very insightful. She said, we are growing like moss. When you see the decaying systems around us, they are building up from that like moss kind of, you know, how moss grows on, let's say, a decaying car or,
yeah.
You know, or like a moss or a certain vegetation grows under the ocean when a ship goes down.
Yes.
It's sort of like we're growing like moss into being who we really, truly, essentially we are, just as very simple star beings is what I think we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And part of that is giving up attachment, which is part of what I think you're mentioning with Burning Man. For me, there's a huge power in the new experiences on the planet now, like Burning Man. For one thing, I believe that we don't act individually as energy, as an energy system. There's a connection on all realms. So that Burning Man to me is a powerful archetype for our whole collective of humanity, that what we create, we must also let go of. And I think it's a powerful message to the collective of humanity that there's no fear in that, that there's an endless free-flowing of all that is all the time. And so for us to learn to move to that place without fearing, without attachment, so that we can create something and then let it go, and always be willing to do that, is one of the secrets for us to shift. Because when we're in that place of no attachment, of the free flow of existence, that's when we step into freedom and power. And it's paradoxical, because it's saying that we think of power as something that holds and controls and keeps, when in fact true power is letting go and letting it all, and then it can all flow through us, and we can have it all in not having it for you know, definite entrenched periods of time.
That's part of the shift. This was really suppressed, this kind of power that was always in us, in each one of us, especially women. I mean, I don't want to be partial, but I think women were more closely in touch with their spiritual power, and this is why the phenomenon of incredible oppression of women has been going on for thousands of years, and so this is why that liberation is really starting to happen now. It's like you can no longer suppress it. I mean, the external powers that humanity was abusing, like you mentioned in the beginning, is given no more energy. The more oppressive powers try to oppress, the more ridiculous they're starting to look, and it's starting to look like a skeleton power now. No matter where you look, the power systems, such as the government systems, they're only in existence in skeleton format to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even the whole entire presidency and the running for presidency, it's all skeleton. It has no substance anymore, because simultaneously the spiritual power that you're talking about, the oneness power, is gaining more and more momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more people get more in touch with that within themselves, and you're talking about that critical mass. The critical mass is already forming right now. I believe we're just at that very moment where the critical mass is shifting.
I agree.
Yeah. It's a phenomenal time to be in right now.
Yes.
And so even those with, you know, again, I'm quoting from that shift book, the focus was on small clan groups,
mm-hmm.
you know, people gathered into these little club-like clans where they would just serve the club, serve the interest of that group that they belong to. This is now becoming obsolete. The more they try to hang on to that and be attached to those kinds of attachments, like you said, attachment to anything, attachment to your physical objects or homes or furniture or even your family members, your loved ones, your cats and pets and whatever you're attached to, the more you are attached to that, the more it's going to be taken away from you.
Yes, that's what I understand.
It's painful. It's very painful, and people are going through that very thing right now, in, like you said, in North America, in the technically advanced societies. It's a very painful process to be in and to watch.
It is, and it's very critical that we be gentle with ourselves in these times, and that we remember that we're this incredible, magnificent, courageous being that has chosen to come here on this planet at this time to do this unbelievable shifting. And we must be gentle and very, very loving with ourselves, because we're doing something that has never been done before on the planet. And it's just so incredible. And so the need to be very gentle and loving and honoring of ourselves in these difficult times. And I think back to the man who called in, and just a further thought is, it's two things are really important: to stay open and willing to connect, and to keep moving, whether it be to dance or to paint or to be in touch with nature, but to be open and be moving are two very simple, little huge suggestions in these times. And one thing that I understand is that as this magnificent omnidimensional energy being that we are, what this current North American and European dominant reality has done is forced our magnificent omnidimensional being into a constrained, one-dimensional tunnel vision of existence. And that is, at the very least, boring to us because we are all that is. Mm-hmm. And it's also killing us. Mm-hmm. Because we are omnidimensional. We exist in all ways, all directions, all times. And so we can't continue on like this. We're simply getting too big and too expansive, and we're bored silly, if nothing else. And something I like to say to people is, you know, in dancing the unfolding mystery that we are, we're supposed to wake up every morning with our ears up, with a twinkle in our eyes, and say, I wonder what the adventure is for today. Having
well,
no idea what it is.
Tremendous gratitude, and some, you know, just go so deep inside your being and find that trust, find
yes.
that agreement, find that contract, you
yes.
know, that you made when you came to this planet, that no matter what, you will have the faith just for today, if you have to, just for today,
yes.
that this is going to be the most magnificent experience that you're going to go through just for today. I think the only way to go through these times is somehow just holding on to our bootstrings like that and not let go, because I know there's a lot of people out there who are letting go, or who want to check out,
yes.
who want to just give up, and it would be such a shame, because this is really the actual time that you want to watch. It's like you are leaving the movie before it ends, you know, just
yes.
kind of just be there for the ending, because it's going to be fun to see this immense shift. You know, and I find myself watching the crop circles lately and starting to try to decipher what these crop circles are saying without listening to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like yesterday, I saw this crop circle that had three circles and connected by a triangle, and the three angles of the triangle were exactly in the center of the three circles. And I'm like, okay, this must mean the galactic neighbors are telling us that humanity will probably be left, you know, they're like going to be in three groups. And one group is going to just hold on to this one-dimensional stuff that you're talking about, to the fear and to their money and to their, you know, existence that way. The second group is sort of halfway in between. And the third group is ready to go and, you know, enjoy the bliss.
Uh-huh.
But that might be just my personal, you know, little explanation. I believe that we're all given this opportunity to shift.
Yes.
All three groups have it. Who is going to go and do it? We don't know. That's for each one of us to know, right?
Yes. What I think is that the crop circles are conscious, alive way showers for us, who have come to try to show us what we are. They come from a wholeness orientation. They are what we're becoming, and they're trying to teach us that. Something that I've learned in the last 15 years of transforming, which has not been easy, but I wouldn't give it up for a moment, what I've come to is that I absolutely cannot live in fear. And what I say is, I am my trust, and my faith. I expand out into those realms, and I can live there where I cannot live in fear. And something that I also believe is that a central piece is that we must fall into deep, deep and profound, fierce self-love, in that's what this shift is all about. And know that our spiritual dimension and all of the universe and all that is holding us in an open embrace of love. And we can live in that embrace, in that trust and faith, and that fierce self-love. And if we only practice that, we'll make it through.
You put it very beautifully, Kathy. I can't imagine. You use some amazing descriptions. And you're right. Love, as we know it in this one-dimensional world, is where, you know, it has to come from your parents as a child. It has to come from this, that, and the other, and from your lover and your husband and boyfriend and girlfriend. But the truth is that love is like the ocean. It's like air that you breathe. It's a part of you.
Unending.
And all you have to do is breathe it.
Yes.
Breathe it in and know that you are always loved. And if you don't breathe it, who will?
Yes. And I think part of the distortions in this surface reality in North America is this romantic notion of love, which I believe is a distortion. I say love is simply connection.
Mm-hmm.
With a tree, with a pet, with a person, with all that is. Just open and intend to connect and make it a practice and feel how we're embraced by a multitude of connections that love us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and definitely we're moving into more of that group consciousness, you know, reaching out to our fellow beings around our community. And, you know, I believe we're moving back into more of a colonial type, existence. In fact, I had a dream. I dreamt with the number 165, and I believe that meant that we're going to live like we lived in 1843, meaning everything will be local, local produce, local food, local groups, local commerce,
mm-hmm.
and we'll live a very simple, more localized life very soon here, I believe, and we will be celebrating more, celebrating our unity and our love for ourselves and each other,
yes.
you know, for the remainder of the time that we're here on this planet. And I don't know about the rest of the groups that come after us, but for me, this is a very exciting time to be here.
Oh, I so agree. And for me, that's what celebration is just being existence, that interconnected oneness.
Sorry, we have another call in the last minute here.
Okay.
Hello? Hello? Someone on the line? Well, our time is running out, and this discussion was incredibly rewarding. Thank you so much, Kathy, for taking the time and ponder with me today. And again, dear Truth Seekers, please feel free to email Kathy if you have any questions, ideas, or donations for her project, Little Huge Be the Moving, at kathyace@lycus.com, or you can always shoot me an email, elizabeth@redlotus.org. And in closing, let's say the closing gratitude intent. I'm grateful, and I know now that there is nothing that I could truly desire that is not at this very moment standing at the door of my consciousness, ready to appear in my life and affairs. I have only to be conscious of this truth, and every need is met, every problem solved, every question answered. My consciousness of the God Self, Holy High Spirit within me is all I will ever need for all eternity. And so it is. Friends, our next show will air live on Wednesday, June 25th at 2 p.m. Please check in for more info on future topics on Earth Harmony web pages with BBS Radio. Thanks for listening today. I'm Elizabeth checking out. Until we meet again next time, blessed be all.